This episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast is brought to you by the Find Food Freedom membership. If you are ready to walk away from diet culture, find food freedom, and enjoy your life again, you can learn more and sign up at findfoodfreedommembership.com. Don't forget to use code IWANTFOODFREEDOM for 3 months completely free. Welcome to the Find Food Freedom podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Find Food Freedom. Find Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Find Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about one of, if not the most requested topic I get when I put up a Q&A box that says, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to know about me? Like, ask me anything. People will always say, can we have a postpartum update? Or, you know, I'm trying to find balance in my own body postpartum. Do you have any tips and tricks for how you've navigated this postpartum time? And I'm here to tell you that every single person that experiences postpartum, it's going to be a very, very different situation for every person. There is so much difference to our lives, not only from what was your pregnancy like, what was your birth like, how many children did you birth? If you've experienced pregnancy loss or stillbirth, that is going to have a completely different effect because that is still a postpartum experience. And so I'm holding space for you if you've experienced that. There is so much nuance to this conversation. I want to make that explicitly clear. So this episode is simply going to be my own personal experience. I'm going to share my thoughts. I'm going to share my opinions. I'm going to share my own personal experience. And I'm also going to weave in some of my professional experience of talking about body image in the postpartum chapter and how that can be really helpful as well. So I thought, I'm laughing, kind of giggling as I record this because I was like, it would not be a true postpartum update if I did not have some type of postnasal drip because sickness has been a huge part of my postpartum journey starting really at that like 5 month mark. So we're going to come back to that. But I thought it was funny how I'm like, I'm in my comfy mama crew neck. I got no makeup on. I don't know if I've brushed my hair today. I got a postnasal drip going on. And I'm like, what a great way to set the tone for the postpartum update. So I'm in 100% complete denial that I'm about to have a one-year-old. I'm recording this right before Sienna's first birthday. This will go live to the public after she has already turned one And I'm truly in denial. Like, I could start crying thinking about how she was an actual potato that just laid there and cried. And now, as of this week, she's just a little over 11 months now. She is signing milk, all done, eat more. Like, when she wants more of something, she's signing more. I'm like, this little human is communicating to me. It is wild. She's crawling like a banshee. She's just crawling all over the house. It has been a wild transformation. And now, like, being a first-time mom, I understand. Like, I would never get it. People are like, oh my God, I can't believe my kid's born. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's been a year. But like, how they come out of your body versus how they are at 1 year old, it's unbelievable the change you see. But I need to digress, because as much as I love Sienna and she is my pride and joy and I love her oh so much, I could just eat her cheeks, like, so freaking cute. I'm obsessed with her. This is going to be about me. This is a postpartum update. This is not a child update. And again, I want to really create a safe space for all postpartum mamas. So I wrote down two, again, there's so many different ways people ask for this update, but two of the ones that really stuck out to me, these are like written verbatim from a Q&A box. Somebody wrote, I'm really trying to find balance postpartum. I want my body to feel like mine again without obsession. I thought that was such a beautiful way to articulate that. And then I had somebody else write, my body is not fully mine anymore. And that was another really beautiful way to talk about postpartum. And so I thought those were really great jumping off points for what I wanted to cover. And I want to validate to the second statement, like, my body is not fully mine anymore. This is a true fact. And this is something to grieve. And I want to, you know, like I said, I'm going to tie a lot of personal experience into this. Oh God, I don't even remember the year. I should probably not this year, but the year that we started trying to conceive, I want to say it was back in 2019. We had been trying for a really long time and eventually started our IVF journey. And so for anybody who's gone through fertility treatments, you know that your body is not yours really starting then. And especially with IVF, of how many shots. And then when you do the egg retrievals, you're poking holes in, you know, through your uterus into your ovaries to pull out these eggs. And it's just, your body isn't yours starting then. Then you go right into pregnancy. If you are lucky enough to have that miracle happen to you and to become a mom in that moment. And I just want to put a disclaimer that I believe that anybody going through fertility treatments is already a mom, because the amount of sacrifice that that takes, whew, is unbelievable. And so, okay, let's say you fall pregnant, then your body is really not yours. Then depending on how you choose to feed your child, and I want to make it very clear that there is no wrong way to feed your child, whether that is exclusively breastfeeding and pumping, combo feeding with formula, fully formula fed, doesn't matter how you feed your child, whatever you choose is the right way to feed your child. So I was exclusively breastfeeding for about 4 weeks. And then we introduced formula. Then I think we were just breastfeeding and pumping. This is a beautiful example of you don't remember anything in those first few months postpartum. I believe I was breastfeeding and pumping until about August. And then so that was about 2-3 months. And then in August, we started to implement one formula bottle a day, because then during that time, my husband would give her a formula bottle, I would pump, and then we were trying to build a stash, because we knew around 5 months postpartum, she would be starting full-time daycare. So she was at home with mom, me, the first 3 months of her life. Then I slowly came back into work, and Luke, my husband, was with Sienna for months 4 and 5, and then she went Halloween. October 31st was her first day of daycare. So why I come back to that is, like, your body is not yours anymore. And I don't mean that from a place of like, you should be scared, but your body is a vessel and a vehicle of delivering a human life. And along with that, I'm such a different dynamic that as someone before having a child or even before starting IVF, I couldn't have understood it because I didn't go through it yet. And so when your body is creating human life and birthing human life and then trying to heal and recover from producing a human life, this is a big fucking deal. This is trauma on your body. And I don't mean it in like a negative sense. I mean it in like, it's a huge change to go through hormonally, mentally, physically. And it is something to grieve because your body will never be the same as it was before you started IVF, before you started to try to get pregnant, before pregnancy and postpartum. And it's not supposed to be. And that's okay. And so I want to just say one more time, I couldn't say this too many times. I just want to hold space for all mothers, no matter what point in your journey you're at, because motherhood is just such a beautiful and fragile and raw topic to talk on. And everyone's experience is just going to be so vastly different and vary from human to human. So I want to talk about body image. I get this question a lot as someone who is a registered dietitian. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I'm a certified personal trainer. And people say, how has your relationship with your body changed? You know, how did you deal with your body changing postpartum? And I want to share my personal experience. I also want to recognize my privilege that I am a straight-sized, you know, thin, white, able-bodied, cisgender, heterosexual woman who all of these privileges make it easier for me to exist in the world because I get respect from people undeserving just because of the way that I look, because I am deemed, air quotes, normal by society standards. And I bring that up because those things make my postpartum experience a lot easier versus my clients who reside in larger bodies or marginalized bodies. When they go to the doctor, when they were pregnant or postpartum, the doctor is asking them if they're considering weight loss, which is beyond fucked up and a form of weight stigma and oppression and discrimination. And so I bring that up because I can only share my experience postpartum from my own lens. And so I would be doing a disservice to you if I did not state my privileges before going into my own experience. Now, when people ask me, well, what is your body image relationship been like as you've transitioned into this postpartum time? I want to say that I'm so grateful for the intuitive eating framework, for the work that I was able to do on my relationship with food and body before even IVF, before pregnancy, and definitely before postpartum. Because my worth is not tied into my weight as a human being. I know and believe deep in my soul that my health is not a direct correlation to my weight. And so if I were to have fallen pregnant or gone through this postpartum chapter 5 years ago, this would be a very different conversation, because my belief systems 5 years ago were that thinner is better, thinner is more beautiful, thinner is healthier. And, or maybe this is probably more like 6-7 years ago, I started to learn about the intuitive eating framework around 5 years ago. But now my core beliefs, right, to my core, I believe that all humans deserve respect. I believe that all humans are beautiful, regardless of the size of their body. I could not have said that 7 years ago. And that's because the amount of internalized fat phobia that I had was immense. And we all have internalized fat phobia. And we still all have to actively fight that because of the society that we live in. So I feel very grateful because I can't imagine going through this postpartum period with the core belief that thinner bodies were better and larger bodies were worse. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because I will get so many DMs of people feeling so shameful or guilty. They're like, I just got one last night. Literally, I responded to her last night. She said, I am 28 weeks pregnant and I am feeling so much shame that I am not proud of what my body is doing. I'm feeling so much shame for my body changing. Now, obviously, pregnancy and postpartum are very different. But I do want to acknowledge that this makes sense if our core belief is that larger bodies are less than, whether it's from a view of acceptance, beauty, love, health status. If we believe that larger bodies are bad and smaller bodies are good, it doesn't matter if you're pregnant. It doesn't matter if you're postpartum. It doesn't matter if you're just a human existing in the world. If you have this core belief, when your body gets bigger, no matter what the reason is, you are going to feel shame about it. And if your body is getting smaller, you're going to feel pride because your core belief is that smaller bodies are better, right? And larger bodies are worse. So when people ask me this question, I feel so grateful that I had the opportunity to change my core beliefs before starting fertility treatments, before starting or falling pregnant, before being postpartum. Because it's important to remember that if we do hold these belief systems that diet culture just ingrains in us that smaller bodies are better, those are not facts. Those are beliefs. And you were not born into this world hating your body or believing these things. You were taught these things through lived experience, through diet culture, through trauma, through generational dieting, through all of these things, right? Media messages. So you can choose, you can actively choose to unlearn these belief systems and rewrite the narrative of what you want to believe about bodies. And I know it's fucking hard. I'm going to be so explicit with you. This is not easy work. Dismantling your entire belief systems around body size. But it is some of the most healing work you can do. Because no matter who you are, whether you want children or not, but chances are if you're listening to this podcast episode, there's a part of you who desires a child or maybe is postpartum or pregnant. It is so rewarding. It is so necessary. And it'll be some of the best work that you can do for yourself because you, if you are human, your body will ebb and flow and change throughout your entire life. We cannot control our bodies. Our bodies are meant to change, whether that is childbirth, medication, illness, injury, whatever it is. There are so many things that affect our body size. And so, the more that you can work on those core beliefs, the better. Because thinking about what is body image? Body image is the relationship that we hold with our body. Body image has everything to do with our brain and nothing to do with our physical body. So in order to practice acceptance and neutrality in this positive body image, whether we're pregnant, whether we're postpartum or just a human existing in life, we have to shift the relationship we hold to our body. So now let's get into postpartum update, physical versus emotional. Woo! This is a deep one. So I want to encourage you in your postpartum journey to separate physical unpleasantness from emotional unpleasantness. And a way that we can do this, now, please know, I am not recommending this. When you are newly postpartum, I didn't even get dressed. Like, I think I literally walked naked around my home for like months because you are If you vaginally delivered, you're bleeding out your vagina. You have, if you choose to breastfeed and not let your milk dry up or pump, you have milk spewing out of your tits. You're just like you're crying constantly because of your hormones. So there's tears coming out of your eyes. Like you're just leaking. You're just leaking. And so I just remember wanting like a bandeau on and like a robe and my diaper and being like, I just want to be naked. I didn't want things touching my body. And so it is a very physically unpleasant time. Okay. I want to validate this. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this because I think it helps us when we know what to expect. I did not have a C-section. That was not my experience. If you are someone who has a planned C-section or end up in an emergency C-section, please know there is no best way to give birth, right? Whatever way that you give birth is amazing and beautiful, and you are a fucking warrior. And just know if you're a first-time mom and you're listening to this episode because you're like, I'm prepping for postpartum time, I'm trying to have an expectation, you are going to do amazing. You were built for this. Your body was meant to do this, and you are going to feel like such a fucking warrior when that baby is in your arms and you're like, I just birthed a human. This is like total like TMI, but I did have an unmedicated birth. That was, I say by choice, but I wanted to prep for an unmedicated birth because I had heard so many birth stories of women that like for their first time came into the hospital and they're like, nope, you're too far along. Like, let's go. You're pushing. And they didn't have time for an epidural. And I was like, okay, I want to be like mentally prepared if I get there. And they're like, we're going, sister, like good luck. So I prepped for an unmedicated birth, but I am by no means anti-epidural. I think epidurals are a beautiful, wonderful tool, or any of the pain medications that mamas choose to use. So I ended up going through with an unmedicated birth. It was not a quick labor. It was 23 hours of labor and 3.5 hours of active pushing, unmedicated. And I say this because, you know, this is funny. I literally lost my train of thought, but I'm not going to have my podcast editor edit this. This is a perfect example of postpartum symptoms. Like my brain chemistry as a mother has changed, and there will be times I'm on a meeting or I'm maybe on a national news segment, or maybe I'm making a TikTok, or maybe I'm talking to a client, or maybe I'm recording a podcast, and I will be like, oh yeah, I'm getting to the fucking point. And then my brain just leaves my body. Like it ghosts me. And that is something that started with me in pregnancy. That was a symptom that I had. I don't remember what trimester, and it has stuck with me ever since. And I never had that before pregnancy. So anyways, let's get back to this. So I wanted to just say you're a fucking warrior no matter how you choose to give birth. I know where I was. If you're a C-section mama, if you're a vaginal delivery, if you're epidural, if you're unmedicated, I don't care how you give birth. You're a fucking warrior. You're amazing. Your body is amazing. So anyways, let's go back to the physical unpleasantness, right? You're going to feel physically unpleasant. Not to scare you. This is like if I told you, hey, you know what? On, let's say your due date is June 15th. I'm like, hey, you know what? On June 15th, you're going to be cut open for a surgery, right? Unrelated to giving birth. Pretend it's not birth. You're going to be cut open for a surgery, or you're going to break your ankle, or you're going, you know, whatever it is. You would prep for healing time, right? You would prep to rest and to heal. And so that's exactly what childbirth is. But I think what happens is the baby pops out and we're like, oh my gosh, this cute little baby. Oh my goodness. And we focus on the baby and it's like, whoa, excuse me. The mother just was ripped open or had 7 layers of abdominals cut open. Okay. And we need to heal. And I just think that, like, I mean, there's so much wrong with maternal care in our country. And that could be a whole nother episode. We have a bunch of episodes on What the Actual Fork, where we've had OBGYNs on. We had Stacey Tanaway. We had Marta Perez, some of our favorite OBGYNs on there. But maternal care is so fucked up in America. And I just feel like in specifically diet culture, in mom culture, it's like the baby pops out and the mom is completely forgotten about. And it's like this bounce back culture of like, get back to your pre-baby body, or like lose your baby weight, or all this bullshit. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? We just birthed a human. Our body is never going to be the same. And let me tell you, I don't want my body to be the same. My body has gone through 3 rounds of IVF, created like over 60 eggs before they were retrieved. So those did not all make it, but like 60 mega eggs that were retrieved, gone through a frozen embryo transfer, birthed an 8-pound, 10-ounce baby with a stage 2 tear, 3.5 hours of pushing. I'm never going to be the same. And guess what? I don't want to be. And how cool would it be if the narrative that we gave to mothers was, mama, your body's never going to be the same. And guess what? Your body's fucking amazing. And you deserve a trophy because you birthed a human life out of it. And as a first-time mom, when I know, you know, so many of my friends have had 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, I'm like, how the fuck do you do this? That is insane. You are amazing. And so it's just, I just want to invite you to shift. So now I'm like, I'm not going on with my notes, which I have in front of me. Now I've like shifted to the mental emotional piece, but like, what if we could shift the narrative from bounce back culture to you're amazing? You are so amazing. You created a human life. And now like you're just living your life and you created this human. As someone who's experienced infertility, I don't understand how people fall so easily pregnant. I think it's like a freaking miracle. So I still stare at my daughter every day and I'm like, you are a miracle. How did you come out of me? I was there. I sure felt it, unmedicated, and I still don't believe it. So let's get into back to the physical. So I want you to expect, and everyone's healing is so different. I've had women tell me, I didn't tear. And, you know, by 6 weeks, I felt good. I was having sex at 6 weeks postpartum. Not to belittle you. Wow, I am jealous. I am envious because I was cleared for physical activity and sexual intercourse at 6 weeks. Ain't no way that was happening. Okay. Sure wasn't. So I want to be very clear that it is going to take time to heal. If you got a big old baby, I had a big old 8 pounds, 10-ounce baby that came out of my body. That takes time to heal from. Okay. Your uterus, I forget the exact amount of, it's like so enlarged and it takes so much time for not only your uterus to shrink back down to a normal, air quotes, normal size. And on your uterus, you also have a scar that is the size of a dinner plate, a dinner plate size scar. So you are healing. And oh, I know what I was going to say earlier. I'm bouncing all over the fucking place. But I was the weirdo that I think it's cool. After I gave birth, then my placenta, you know, you give birth to your placenta, which by the way, I was unmedicated. My placenta, I've heard like horror stories of people saying like their placenta, it was like worse than pushing out the baby. I just want you to know it did not hurt me at all. And it was a very pleasant experience. I actually even pushed like once or twice. The doctor helped pull a little bit, but did not like, I've heard people say like their doctor stuck their arm up there. Not my experience. placenta came out, it just felt great. It was like, it felt like I could breathe again once the baby came out, and the fluids and the blood and the placenta, you're just like, oh my gosh, nobody's pushing on my lungs, like my ribs, like I can breathe again. But I was the weirdo that asked for a picture. I have pictures on my phone. I'm holding Sienna. I'm like naked. I'm smiling from ear to ear. And I wanted a picture with my placenta. And I'm sharing this because, again, back to my mindset, I'm like, holy fucking shit. Childbirth is so cool. My body created an organ that gave this baby all of the nutrients that she needed, you know, the ability to breathe. And now I birthed the organ out after the baby because my body's like, hey, sister, we're done here. You can have this organ. Don't need it anymore. I thought that was so cool. The placenta to me was so freaking cool. So anyways, I share this because your body is not only birthing a baby, it is getting rid of an organ that you don't need anymore. I want you to imagine if you had a kidney transplant scheduled, right? Where like you were going to get surgery and they were going to remove a kidney and replace it, right? Or a heart transplant. You would be getting rid of an organ and obviously replacing it because you need those other organs. You are getting rid of an organ in addition to birthing a baby. Your body needs time to heal. It's going to be physically unpleasant. But instead of it being like, okay, I feel physically unpleasant and I'm going to couple that with emotional unpleasantness, which is so common in diet culture, right? We might feel physically unpleasant and then we're like, my body is horrible. I'm such a bad person. So I want to encourage you to uncouple your physical unpleasantness with your mental and emotional unpleasantness. I want you to also know some of the physical symptoms that I experienced. Doesn't mean you're going to experience them, but nobody told me about them. So when I was experiencing this, I was like, is this normal? Okay. Postpartum stench, your armpits, I don't know how to say it. I'm not with it. There's a certain name for the discharge that you get with the blood from your placenta, like uterus, like your placenta being detached from your uterus, that scar, there's a name. I think it's like lock. It's like LOCHIA. I forget. Anyways, you're going to smell. You're going to smell. Now, obviously, if there's like a smelling like a dead carcass, you want to like go to the doctor and see if there's an infection. But the hormonal smell, stench of postpartum, I was like, oh my God, I smell bad. If you can just take a shower every single day as your little act of self-care to just get your you time, that was super helpful. Took a while for that stench to go away. Your hormones in general are fucking wild. The first few weeks, night sweats. I'm telling you, I would wake up full blown, hair looked like I jumped in a pool, boob sweat, just it running off of me, just sweating everywhere, night sweats. The lack of sleep. Please know that some people say that pregnancy was worse for them than the postpartum sleep. Not my experience. When that baby's waking up every few hours, remember that sleep deprivation was used as a form of torture during war. You are not supposed to be sleep deprived. I promise you, you will sleep again. But I want you to know that it's not normal to experience sleep deprivation. That is going to physically feel very uncomfortable, but you will sleep again. And you have this cute little baby that you can squeeze. So that helps too. You're getting to know your baby. If you're a first-time mom, you're not supposed to know what the fuck you're doing. I'm not a motherhood, you know, mommy blogger baby account. So please go follow accounts that make you feel like they're helpful. But It's looking like this is going to be needed to be like a part two episode, because I do want to open up a little bit more about my postpartum anxiety that I experienced, but I really feel like that's probably better suited for a part two. But please know, like, you're getting to know your baby. You're not supposed to know absolutely everything. So also, I want to include in the physical aspect, I talked about how I was a stage two tear. There was a lot of physical healing that needed to happen. I also pushed for 3.5 hours. If you push, I forget the stat, but I believe it's if you push for over 30 minutes or over an hour, your risk of hemorrhoids and anal fissures goes up greatly. Again, this is not to scare you. This is to give you information that I wish I had, because I also experienced some complications that I was not aware of. And I would have really liked to do that. And I had to go to a colorectal doctor and then a colorectal surgeon. Luckily, I did not need to get surgery. But if you push for a really long time, you're at a much higher risk of hemorrhoids and anal fissure. And to me, that was the toughest part of physically healing versus the vaginal tear. So please, 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 I don't want to scare you, but I want to empower you with knowledge, because that was something nobody told me about. All right. Sickness. Let's talk about healing postpartum. I am now close to being a 1 year postpartum. I'm right there. My daughter started daycare at 5 months postpartum. From 5 months to 11 and a half months, my baby has gotten COVID, RSV, hand, foot, mouth, influenza A. What am I forgetting? Insane viruses that have broken out in full body rash, multiple fevers. Norovirus. I feel like I always forget norovirus because it has scarred me. I am telling you this, not to scare you, but if you are a mother who will be putting your child in daycare, that was something that fucking rocked me. I have been sick. Now, my husband, he's got the immune system of an ox. He hasn't gotten anything but norovirus. I have gotten every single sickness that my baby has gotten. I give you this information because I want you to know that it is, you need to be kind to yourself. You need to give yourself grace. If you're taking care of a baby, you're a working parent, and you're fighting sickness, and your baby's sick. That was something that I had to learn to really slow down and give myself grace. And that was something that I just did not expect. Like, of course, I knew my baby would be sick with daycare, but it has been next level, like every other week sickness. So I really highly encourage you to follow some really great pediatrician accounts on TikTok or on Instagram that are sharing very credible information about sickness, so you can feel more informed and more comfortable. And know that we did a podcast episode on the Fine Food Freedom podcast entitled like Navigating Your Relationship with Food During Sickness. Go listen to that, because that's like a whole nother layer that we didn't talk about. And that is a great jumping off point if you're like, how do I deal with being sick all the time? Because I just wasn't used to that. I didn't have a kid. I worked from home. COVID, being stuck inside, I hadn't been sick for a really, really long time. And so that was very difficult for me. So that was something I just didn't expect postpartum, and nobody really told me about, that I feel like has been a really big physical and mental hurdle for me. And last but not least, I just want to get into the emotional, mental piece. Motherhood and parenting is one of the most challenging but most rewarding things that you will do in your life. The amount of people before you have that baby, they're like, just wait, you're never going to sleep again. Just wait, you're losing all your independence. Fuck that. When I have a pregnant person or a couple that's expecting in front of me, I'm like, just wait. You're about to experience so much joy. Like you've never felt, you're going to experience love, overwhelming love that you just didn't even know was possible. Is it hard? Is it challenging? Absolutely. But it is amazing. And with parenting, you know, I think people just get ready for the labor and the delivery. And that's all they think about. And then it's like, oh my God, you have this child. And then they start growing. And then now like Sienna, like she's communicating with me with sign language. And so you will be triggered time and time again. Whatever shit you have, whatever trauma you have from your past, your children basically just hold a mirror up to you and they're like, ha ha, gotcha. And you're going to be triggered. And I invite you to just breathe and know that you're doing the best you can with the resources that you have. If you have ability to get therapy, to work with someone that can help you with your mental health, triggers are inevitable. Parenting, I had no idea how much reparenting of my inner child this would bring up for me. And it's so important to give yourself grace and kindness during this time. So the hormones are crazy. You know, the reparenting is crazy. You will maybe go through, I don't want to say an identity crisis, but you are a new person. You are going through a transformation. Before having a child, you were a caterpillar. Now you're a butterfly. You're completely different. You're going to show up in the world in a different way. And it's not worse and it's not less than. It's just different. So I can confidently say that sitting here at 1 year postpartum, I feel like a different human being than I did at 6 weeks postpartum, 3 months postpartum, 5 months postpartum. And now saying this to you, I'm like, all right, it looks like we're going to have to do a part two. And I think the best way to do this is as soon as this episode goes live, I'm going to have, of course, people listen. And then I'm going to do another question box of what do you want to know about? Because I want to talk about my postpartum anxiety. I want to talk about ways that as a parenting unit, my husband and I have really been able, you know, to parent together and to co-parent and to make sure that I have been prioritizing my mental health, finding my identity in motherhood. And so many of these conversations, again, are so nuanced and so individualized, but I think they are so important. So if you are an expecting mama here, if you don't remember anything else from this episode, this is what I want you to remember. Your life is about to change for the better. Your body is going to change in ways that you can't imagine. And it's so incredible what is about to happen. You are a miracle. Your body is a miracle. Your baby is a miracle. And just know that you are a freaking warrior, a freaking warrior. So thank you so, so much for being here with me today. If you're looking for resources on how to heal your relationship with food, heal your relationship with your body, you can head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. We have a ton of stuff there. But otherwise, I'll be seeing you again next week. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true because then we get to help people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to our social channels and follow us at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. I also want to give you a free gift simply just for showing up today. So if you head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com, you are going to get a free gift, again, just for being here. It's a training entitled, What the Hell is Intuitive Eating and How Do I Get Started? This training breaks down what intuitive eating actually is and isn't, along with breaking down the three biggest myths with intuitive eating, and will give you some practical steps to get started on your food freedom journey. So if you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody who you think needs to hear it. And when you rate and review, leave us some feedback, what you want to hear more of, what questions you have. The more that you share this podcast, the more this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. So thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again on the next episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. Bye.